It's the Musical Theater Book Club. Let's talk about a show. Welcome to Musical Theater Book Club, where we talk about our favorite musicals, our least favorite musicals, and everything in between. I'm Berkeley.
I'm Sarah.
And today we're playing the game of Who Can Cry First.
It's anyone's game.
Anyone's game. Let us know how you do. Tweet at us, email us, because it's very likely both of us will cry at some point. And if we don't, I'll buy you a drink. So today we are talking about the musical Come From Away. We have both seen it. It's the show I have seen the most times, officially. I've seen it twice on Broadway and twice in San Francisco.
Nice. I've seen it twice. I saw it in Broadway, and then I saw it with my mom. And then I was supposed to go see it this summer, but thanks COVID, so it is postponed till next summer.
I just realized, I totally forgot, but we also saw the talkback thing that they did in San Francisco.
Yes, yes, we did, which was very, very fun.
That was cool. We can talk about that later. Totally forgot about that.
How dare you?
I know. I'm the worst.
Call yourself a fan.
The musical is by the creative team Irene Sankoff and David Hein, who are a couple. They're adorable. Married. They are. I think, okay, this is going way ahead, but I think my favorite thing that I found in my research is that they always sing, like whenever they do those talkbacks and stuff, they always sing Stop the World together. Oh, and I told you guys, I'm already crying. Oh my god, I was not ready for this.
They are definitely, like, very cute. Like, whenever I see their stuff online, because, like, I follow them on, like, Twitter and stuff, and I'm just like, I don't usually get invested in, like, people's relationships, but they're one of the ones where I'm just like, oh. Mm-hmm. And they have a daughter together, too. I read that when I read the book to prepare for this, and I didn't know that they had a daughter, so.
I didn't know that either. When I tell you guys, so also, I guess going back to our personal connections, this is my favorite show. Like, I think I should say that. So we're now going to start a new drinking game. Anytime Berkeley tears up, and I will let you know, just probably take a shot. That's probably your best bet.
and this is my very, like, close second. Like they are, like, neck and neck. Like, Hamilton's still my fave, but, like, it's, like, right there under it. And you're actually the one that showed me. Like, I don't know if you remember, but I remember visiting you when you were down in Southern California, and you were like, oh, you need to see, like, you need to hear this, and you, like, showed me Welcome to the Rock and Me and the Sky, and I was like, yeah, that's pretty good, and then I listened to the whole thing, and I was like, this is amazing.
I think, and we were talking about it earlier this week, this is, like, the one show that we are, all, like, on the same page about.
Your other favorite show, like, I like it, but, like, it's not my thing, but, like, this is the one show that we are, like, 100%, like, no, we will fight you about it. Yes. Like, not each other, like, other people.
Legally Blonde, too, probably is on that list as well.
Yeah. Yeah, there's probably, like, others. I think it just meant, like both up there as in how much, yeah. Yeah.
Like, how much we both like the show individually as well. I got you. So, going back, yes, Irene Sankoff and David Hein, who are both Canadian, wrote the show. They also have a daughter. I didn't know about it. That's a cool fact. Thanks, Sarah. It is set in the week following September 11th attacks and tells the true story of what transpired when 38 planes were ordered to land unexpectedly in the small town of Gander in the province of Newfoundland and Labrador in Canada.
That's the one thing I don't want to say I hate about the show. That's the one thing that always makes it tough is, like, when you try to tell people about the show, because it's like, well, what's it about? And you're like, kind of 9/11, but it's not about 9/11, and then, like, trying to explain it without giving the plot away, and you're like, oh god, you're like, trust me though, just trust me, it's really good.
Also, just trying to, like, tell people without crying. That's also an issue I have. I mean, we're 4 minutes and 30 seconds in and I've already teared up, so that's how that's going. So just a brief history of development. The idea of the show was first conceived by Michael Rubinoff, a Toronto lawyer, theater producer, and associate dean of visual and performing arts at Sheridan College in Oakville. Rubinoff attracted Irene Sankoff and David Hein, whose work he knew from their 2009 musical, My Mother's Lesbian Jewish Wiccan Wedding, which I feel like I need to listen to.
I know. I wish I knew more about it. I think they did, or were going to do, a revival of it this year, like, in Toronto. I want to say it was, like, in January, though, so maybe it did happen. But, yeah, outside of that, I don't know much about it. So in 2011, so on the 10th year anniversary, they had a huge reunion in Gander of just all the Come From Aways, all the people that came back. And so kept interviewing people after people, like person, just taking like as many notes as they could to, you know, find a way to merge all these stories into one. So just talking to like every person that they could get to.
Rubinoff used their initial script to produce a 45-minute workshop version for the Canadian Musical Theatre Project, which was part of Sheridan College of Music Theatre Performance in 2012. The workshop was very successful, and Rubinoff invited them to finish writing it a full production. The full production was an artistic success, but Rubinoff was unable to attract a Canadian producer to further develop the show. Fun fact, this is my favorite, the TikToker at Ryan J. Berta, he went to Sheridan College at this time, and he actually has a series of TikToks about the first version of the show, and I absolutely love it. He'll play the original versions of, like, Welcome to the Rock, and I think he did Stop the World as well and part of the Screech-In, and it's so cool to see how the show has developed over time. Because this is one of those shows that has, like, a long development process.
Yeah, I mean, like, even like we just said, like, they went and talked to the people in Canada in 2011, and this show came out, what, 2017?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to, Hamilton, yeah. Like, that's a long, long amount to put it together. So the first professional production was a collaboration at the La Jolla Playhouse and the Seattle Respiratory Theater in 2015. The play had extended runs in each location, and in Seattle, it broke all box office records, including highest grossing show and largest single ticket sales each day at Seattle Respiratory Theater.
Respiratory? Repertory.
Nope. Keep it in, respiratory. I'm dead. I'm quitting.
Me. Honestly, same. Following its run in San Diego and Seattle, the show played out-of-town engagements at Ford Theater in Washington, D.C., the Royal Alexandra Theater in Toronto, Ontario. The entire run of the Toronto production sold out during its second week of performances. The show's ticket sales set a record for then 109-year-old Royal Alexandra Theater, selling 1.7 million in tickets in a single week. That's crazy.
It just seems like everywhere it went, it just, like, exploded and did so well. Which, I mean, is not shocking if you've listened or seen the show, but... No. It's just, like, such a unique thing. So the show cannot be extended due to its Broadway commitment, but as a result of the strong demand, Marvish Productions announced on December 2nd, 2016, is adding an additional 4 box seats and 12 standing room locations during the show, and an additional show was added the evening of December 18th. So they weren't able to, you know, add on because of Broadway, but it's just, God, it's so popular. Mm-hmm. Like, everywhere it went, it just...
It, like, blows up everywhere. So the musical opened in previews on Broadway on February 18th, 2017, and officially opened March 12, 2017 at the Gerald Schoenfeld Theater. The show has been playing to standing room only audiences basically the whole time.
Which, you know, you're the theater expert. I'm just here for the fun.
not that, expert, but is, sure.
But you know what I mean. But that's not common, though, is it? Like, standing room? Like, I know some shows do it, but, like...
Yeah, it really depends on the show. It's not very common. Some of the bigger shows will do it. I think Phantom does it, I want to say. I think Hamilton was doing it, too. But a lot of the time, they'll do, like, the rush tickets, and that's it. They won't do standing room in the back. But every so often, they'll do standing room, yeah.
I guess it depends on the show, too. I'm like, you know, this show's not super long. It's like, I don't know if I'd want to stand for, like, Hamilton.
Yeah, I would not want to do that. Nah.
One of the things that I think is just really important about this show and about the history of this show is at some point before it came to Broadway, they did take it to Gander and they had a performance there. And that's a big deal of, you know, and I know that when we saw them, which we'll talk about in a moment, when we saw some of the creators talking about it, like, that's the audience. Like, if they say it's no good, like, pull the plug on the show sort of thing. And so they actually performed at the hockey rink. Which is just, I love it so much. But, you know, it was same as all these others. Tons of people came, like, saw it. But right before their opening, they did the same thing for the New York First Responders, which I think is huge because even though it's not necessarily a show about 9/11, like, it's a show, you know, they talk about it's not a musical about 9/11. It's a musical about 9/12. It's a musical about what happened afterwards. But I think it is really important that, like, especially now that it, you know, Broadway is in New York, obviously. And so, you know, including those first responders, those people that were actually there when it was happening. And I think that was a really big thing too, of like, you know, it was important that Gander, the people of Gander, approved it and thought it was important. I'm getting chills right now. I'm trying not to cry.
I've been tearing up this whole time. And so the people, tear up, drink.
And that the people, you know, the first responders of New York saw it. And it was the same thing. Like, they all, like, just positive responses overall.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I remember going through the notes and I was like, I just remembered it as we were talking about it. But that Gander performance, they did two of them. And I think my favorite, oh, I'm getting chills now. I think my favorite thing is that before they even finished Welcome to the Rock, people were like on their feet. I think the second they started the, I'm an Islander, I am in that part, Sarah's crying. So drink for Sarah crying. That's, if you're keeping track, that is three times you need to drink. People are on their feet for the I am an Islander, because there's so much pride in being a Newfoundlander, and we'll get a little into this a little later on, but there's so much pride in it, and these people are so happy. And by the time they did the final Welcome to the Rock, they were on their feet screaming for the opening number. The opening number! It just has so much power. I love it.
And just on a fun Canadian note, in October 2018, it became the longest-running Canadian musical in Broadway history, surpassing the Drowsy Chaperone's previous record of 674 performances.
Speaking of Canadian musicals, I'm glad that this one is really getting the attention that it deserves, because I feel like Canadian musicals typically don't get that, because we typically don't know they're Canadian. Like, Drowsy Chaperone, no idea. It was
Canadian. I didn't know until I saw that note. I was like, oh.
Yeah. But I'm glad, obviously this one is getting the Canadian recognition because it takes place in Canada, but I think it's cool that we have like an international representation, I guess you could call it, on Broadway. Obviously they went on a national tour. They did like 50 stops, I think, starting in Seattle.
Yeah. And then, as we said, so international shows, Ireland, London, Australia. The Australian company was supposed to tour China starting in Beijing from the 23rd to the 26th of April. But it was announced that they were postponing it to 2022. So it's not gone forever. It is just being postponed, which is nice. It'll still happen. Mm-hmm. And there is a Spanish language production in Argentina and a production in Sweden,
which I'd be really interested to see. On November 15th, 2017, it was announced that the Mark Gordon Company would produce a feature film adaptation of the musical with Senkoff and Hine writing the script and Christopher Ashley as director. MTI also has the rights to it. So soon enough, we'll be able to see regional theaters, regional and amateur companies performing Come From Away.
Ooh, maybe we'll get lucky and we'll get a Tom Hooper to direct this one too.
Sorry, Christopher Ashley, we're cutting you. It's Tom Hooper now. So the show is almost a through composed show. Most of what you hear on the cast album is what is in the show. The only thing that the album is really missing is like a book scene or two. Like, my favorite scene, I remember, I don't know about you, but when I first saw the show, when they went into the scene in the donut shop with Crystal and they were like, hi, Crystal. Hi, Bob. And they went through that whole, yeah. I was dying. I was like, there's more to this. I was laughing so hard.
So I've talked to you about this before. And if somebody that's listening knows of a show, please let me know. But the first, I remember, you know, because I listened through the show, obviously, a bunch of times before I saw it. And I remember, and I knew it was one act. And I was so surprised. Like, I thought it was a sung through musical, like completely, like Hamilton or Falsettos. But like, there's a good amount of dialogue in it. Like, not a ton, but like, there's definitely more than, like, it's definitely not like a full sung through musical. But when you listen to the cast album, it really sounds like a sung through musical. Like, it doesn't, I don't feel like I'm missing stories. And there's not a lot of shows that do that. Like, where I did not need to follow along on the, like the Wikipedia or anything like that. Like, I get the absolute 100% full story from just the music.
I think what's going on is there's just so many stories they're trying to tell in this like one act setting that the moments in the songs are the big points that you really need to follow. And I mean, like, what do we, I think the things that we really miss that aren't on the soundtrack, I think are sort of things that really set the idea of like Newfoundland. Like, we have that scene where they're in and they're all like, everybody in the town knows everybody. And it's a really cute moment to be like, oh, this is the kind of town that we're in. We're in this town where everybody knows everybody. Everyone is super friendly. And then what else? There's a scene where we get, oh, maybe this is a thing. Oh, I'm making connections. So the only other scene that I can think of off the top of my head is the scene where they're fighting, where there's the fight with the mayor and the bus driver, and they're fighting about, the bus driver's like, I'm not going to use the buses, we're on strike, blah, 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 blah. I'm wondering if they only are using those script scenes for people, for the Newfoundlanders, for like the people of the town in Gander, because I can't think of another script scene off the top of my head.
I think they mostly do. So, like I said, I just read the book, and the book actually had most of the, like, they had the lyrics and, like, the, you know, script parts. And, like, now that I'm thinking through it, because I know there's one with, like, Anita, and, like, she's always, like, talking about how, like, the captain is there and is, like, so handsome, and, like, she does it with a couple other characters. Mm-hmm. And, but, again, that's somebody who was on the island.
Yeah, you're right. I think, I'm wondering if that was a artistic choice, but the bigger ones, because even that's just a small moment.
No, I think that's not entirely, now that I'm thinking about it, sorry.
No, you're good.
Because there is a scene where both Kevin's and what are their names?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
The cops, right before, I picture them in my head.
Yes, Nick and Diane.
Nick and Diane, thank you. It was going to bug the living
shit out of me. Yeah, that was.
There is a scene where both Kevin's and Nick and Diane are walking together, and then they end up, like, splitting off, and Nick and Diane go somewhere, and then the both Kevin's end up going into the bar, and, like, it's where they make the whole, like, joke about, like, are they gay, are they not gay sort of thing, so.
We ended up in the gayest town in Newfoundland.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, like, I mean, now I've seen the show a couple times, but I remember the first time I saw it, the other thing about it that I was really surprised about is how funny it is.
It's such a funny, like, show.
Not that I thought it was going to be like a downer the whole time, but I was laughing probably as much as I was crying, and I definitely was crying a lot, so.
Yeah. Sankoff and Hind, their goal was to create a musical metaphor. The music of Newfoundland was already there, and all these people brought their own music, so they wanted to create a sound that sort of mashed all of that together. So the music supervisor actually described the music as traditional Celtic meets contemporary rock with a little bit of country and punk thrown in. I don't know where the punk is, and I think the punk is in like the guitar bass line, or not the guitar bass line, but the bass line and the drums, but I'm into it. But what I think is really interesting is that you really hear the sound of Newfoundland. Like, they use the accordion, they use the bodhrán, the fiddle, the penny whistle, and the ugly stick, which is an actual instrument. It's an actual Newfoundland instrument, which just, they made an ugly stick for the show. It's made from items in a tool shed. Typically, it's a mop handle, and then they will put a boot at the bottom and then use bottle caps, tin cans, bells, and then it's played with a drumstick. And I think it's the cutest thing ever.
Yeah, I think which is one of the great things about the music, too, is that not just the instruments that they used, but even some of the song lyrics, you know, they talked about, I don't know where I heard or read or saw this, but I know that at one point they were talking about, you know, people from Gander, like, recognize the beginning of, the beginning of the Screeched In song, when they're singing, like, that, like, old sailor song, like, people from Gander know that song and, like, recognize it, and just, like, things like that, like, fitting in, you know, really, really collecting the, from what I've heard, because obviously we're not from Gander, but from what I've heard, really collecting the heart and soul of this place into the show.
I think the reason it compels so many people is because it's a totally different concept of what life is compared to what life is here. I mean, like, we have COVID going on and people are so individualistic during it, but then we have this whole thing happen in 9/11 and this whole town comes together to help these people, and it's beautiful.
While we're on the music, though, something else, and kind of related to how we talked about how obviously it's done so amazing as far as, like, everywhere it's been, it's sold out. Something that's, I think it is on the album, but at the very end, they have a Screeched Out song. And so where that was created, you know, it's, and most people are, like, leaving the theaters, and sometimes there's, like, a song at the end, you know, there's a Hamilton one, but, like, people are leaving. But the thing was, like, all these people are just, like, the show ends, and then everyone's just there, and they're still there, and they're, like, just waiting. That's ended up how being Screeched Out ended up coming, like, bringing the band back onto the stage, which is another thing we didn't even talk about. Like, there's, what, 7 of them, 8 of them, and they're just, like, playing off on, kind of on the side, and you can see them, and they come in for some of the songs, and I think that is just so cool.
No, it helps build the sense of community, and I really like it.
But yeah, just like, so that's how Screeched Out was kind of created. And it's fun. Like, I don't even skip that song.
No, I mean, I guess this is actually a good time to get into like our favorites. There's only two that I skip throughout the show. Like, I'm not even going to bother with my favorites. Like, I will tell you that like 38 Planes Reprise / Somewhere in the Middle of Nowhere is my favorite song in the show. But like, I love the whole show. I love all the music. The only two that I skip are I Am Here and Something's Missing, literally just because they make me cry. And, you know, I'm not always ready to cry. But like, there'll be days where I literally am just like, I want to listen to Come From Away, and I will listen to the full album all the way through, because it's not a long listen, and it's all just so good.
Yeah, like, we usually try to whittle it down to like the songs you need to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But this show's an hour. Like, I'm looking on Spotify right now. It is an hour and 5 minutes, and it is an hour and 5 minutes you need to listen to. It is, and I'm the same way. What were the two songs you said? I'm sorry, that you don't listen to sometimes.
I am here, and Something's Missing.
Yeah, I think the only one that I like started skipping at the end sometimes is Prayer. It's a beautiful song. It's beautiful mm-hmm. in the show. It's just like sometimes, but and this is like a, if I'm, you know, after I was listening through it a few times, I was like, okay, but yeah, same way. Like I, that's why I didn't write it down. I was like looking on my phone right now, because I'm like, I don't know. Like, how do you pick? Like, they're all so good.
And I think if you really just sort of want a sense of what the show is and what it has to offer, Welcome to the Rock, all the way. Me in the Sky, all the way. And then Screeched In. Yeah, yeah. Go Screeched In, because that'll cover all the bases. That'll cover your Newfoundland music. That'll cover your, like, rockish musical theater rock stuff. That'll cover every, like, all the aspects of the show. But one thing I wanted to talk about really fast, because I thought it would be kind of fun, is the Screech In. Because it's an actual Newfoundland ceremony. So in the show, the mayor decides that tensions are rising and everyone needs to just go to the bar. So they're like, get everybody, let's go to the bar. And they go to the bar and they have a party. That's when Sarah was talking about the sailor folk song. That's when that happens. And then they go into what's called a screechin. And a screechin is how you become an honorary Newfoundlander. And Sarah and I have always talked about going to Newfoundland for vacation. And I was like, how are we going to find somebody to Newfoundland or like to screech us in? But it's way more common than you know, which I thought is so cool.
Yeah.
So, Screechin' is a Newfoundland ceremony to make a come from away an honorary Newfoundlander. And a come from away is anyone that's not from Newfoundland. That is how they got the title of the show. Another thing about Newfoundland is they have their very own distinct dialect, as do a lot of places. And they use it a lot in the show. And it's funny because you don't necessarily notice it. Like, you may notice it and be like, what did she just say? But it's just like you understand what's going on. So it's cool. So many of these ceremonies happen on George Street in St. John's, which is a 2-block long street that literally is just bars and pubs. And I'm like, Newfoundland, you get it. You get it.
We'll be planning our vacation in a couple years. In like a year or so, once hopefully all this is done, to go and get screeched in.
Let's just test negative and go. Honestly, let's go live in Gander for a little bit.
Maybe I would love to stay in Canada.
Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll just skip to Canada for a little
bit. It's wonderful. They have the best food.
Most of what we see in the musical is actually fairly relevant. From what I've heard from the directors and from a number of people that are involved in the show, this ceremony goes on and on and on. However, I didn't find much information about that. Its main feature is Screech, which is a rum that's made and sold in Newfoundland, which is described in the show by one of the Kevins as bad Jamaican rum. And I'm like, is there such thing as a bad rum? I'll find out when I'm an honorary Newfoundlander. I'll tell you.
There's a little bit of it in the book. I don't want to go into it too much, but it's from like when they used to do like a lot of trading and stuff. And there was, I can't remember what Newfoundland gave the like people, but because of that, they gave them actual like Jamaican rum. So now it's probably, like processed in Newfoundland. But that's why it's like was like legitimately like Jamaican rum before.
So the ceremony can be performed at home, but it's normally performed at bars and on board tourist ships as they're crossing into the area. It always begins with the host introducing themselves and asking, who wants to be a Newfoundlander?
Me. I have no idea what I put up my hand. And I'm just kidding.
Everyone will then introduce himself, and the host will usually interrupt and poke fun at wherever they're from or their accent, which we see in the show. LA. Or like, How does your marriage work?
You being in England and her in Texas.
Oh, we're not married.
We're just going to reenact the whole show for you guys right now.
There we go. So one thing we don't see is as they all hold their shot of Screech, they are asked, are ye a Screecher or is you a Newfoundlander? To which they respond, indeed I is, me old cock, and long may ye big jib draw. Which in English is, yes, I am, my old friend, and long may your sails catch wind. And then, as in the show, they will have to kiss a frozen cod or another really ugly fish. Although sometimes they'll use freshly caught fish, and I'm not into that. I don't want that. The ceremony does vary from place to place. Some will change the order. Some will make you eat bologna. Some will make you kiss the butt of a rubber puffin. Others will make you stand in a bucket of salt water the whole time. And then the only people that can officiate the ceremony is a native Newfoundlander. Overall, the reviews from each preview and Broadway were outstandingly positive.
Jay Irwin from Broadway World called the production emotionally transcendent and the best musical I've seen all year and possibly ever. I mean,
that sums right? it up.
Yeah, like there was a ton of reviews and we didn't want to include every single one of them. But when I saw that, I was like, yeah.
David Gerson with the DC Metro Theater Arts called the show one of the most refreshing pieces of art that I have seen in years. The folk and country influenced pop score is tuneful and the cast sings the hell out of it. And I think with this show, there's just this heart. There is just so much heart in it. And it's just something you don't see normally. And it is really refreshing to go see.
Kelly Newstick of the Globe and Mail wrote that the heartwarming musical lives up to the hype. And that the accessible story, strong emotion, core, and gorgeous songwriting should not distract from how original and smart this gem of a musical is.
That's another thing. I'm sorry. Really fast. This is an original musical. This isn't based. I mean, yes, it's based on history, but that's one thing. It's not based on a movie or a TV show or a book. It's based on real life. And I love that.
And like you said earlier, like it's based off it's based off real events. I mean, obviously, they had to take some liberties. Some people had to, like, stories were combined into other people's. Some things are slightly changed. But nothing's made up. Like, it's all real things that happened. It just might not be, like, all of this happened to, like, this exact person. But they all just came from the stories that they got and pulled and put together.
Mm-hmm. I think the best example is Beulah, because it's Beulah Davis. And she's actually two different people. It's, like, Beulah something and then something Davis. So it's like the first name Beulah and then the last name Davis, two different people. And I think that's the best example of it. I mean, the closest we probably get is Beverly Bass, but even then her experience is going to be caught up with so many other different pilots.
And then just the last review that we wrote down was Alan Henry of Broadway World said, you'll laugh, you'll cry, and you'll be a better person when you leave the theater. Don't miss Come From Away. And I mean, it's true. Like we said, it's a very funny show, but it's also a show that, like, will make you cry if you are a crier like we are.
Yes.
Everything that's been going on the past few months with COVID, with Black Lives Matter, with just everything. Like, if you're like us, who's been inside and has just been having a hard time, like, it is a show that we really recommend that it'll cheer you. Like, I mean, it will make you cry, too. But, like, you just... this idea of these people that just like give up everything, that it really takes a certain kind of person, but to have a whole community that was able to do that. And we were both very young when 9/11 happened. Like, mm-hmm. I have very, very limited memories. I'm sure you do. Like, if any, yeah. I think I was in like fifth grade. So we were both incredibly young. So, you know, our memories of 9/11 are obviously not the same as adults that went through it, but it's just such a beautifully put together show. And I guess we never really wrote it down, but I just think one of the other really like outstanding things about the show is just the way that they do it. There's what, 12 people? Mm-hmm. It's like a 12 person cast. And I remember one of the reasons I had to like, so the reason Berkeley tells me about this show and I'm like, this is amazing. And I like told my boyfriend, I'm like, I need to go to New York and see this. Like, when we saw Hamilton in New York, that was a second show. Like, we didn't go to New York to see Hamilton. We went to New York to see Come From Away, and we just bought tickets to Hamilton because we were already going to New York. Because I was like, and I thought it was going to be confusing because I was like, how are they going to be, like, they're 12 people playing hundreds of people, like, telling all these different stories. Like, nobody's playing like one single person. Like they're playing multiple different characters, but it's not confusing at all. The way that they do it is so well that you can tell the difference between like what they're wearing, their accent, just like, you know, we already talked about If Then, and that was one person playing two people and they did not do it well. It is the exact opposite of that, where it is just so well done. The staging is very minimal. Like it's chairs and tables and some trees, like incredibly minimal. And it's just, they put together such a minimalist show and they do it so well to tell this amazing, huge story.
I also, when I first saw it, it was specifically to go see it. I mean, I was heading back to the East Coast to visit a friend in DC and I was like, hey, so over the weekend, can we just go to New York and see a show on Broadway, please? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, cool. You don't know this show, but we're going to go see Come From Away because I want to see that. And I don't regret it. I was in New York for like maybe a day, just over a day. I was not in there for a long time, but I saw Come From Away. I met the cast and I'm still blown away every time I think about it. In San Francisco, they did a special event where they had the writers and then Beverly Bass was there, right? The writers, Beverly Bass, and then Kendra Kassebaum, who at the time was playing Beverly Bass in the tour. But she was an original cast member. She played the news reporter. They did sort of a talk back just for a whole audience. And it was one of the coolest things. They answered questions. They sang a couple songs from the show. Me in the Sky.
Yeah, they sang Me in the Sky.
Stop the World.
Stop the World. And then they had also ended up bringing someone who lives in the area. So it was a mother and daughter. The mother was pregnant. She was pregnant, right?
Yeah.
Either pregnant or it was like a baby. I can't remember. One of the two when they were there. And so it was really cool, too, just seeing like actual, you know, like, yeah, these were real. Again, like we said, these were real people. Mm-hmm. And so just talking about like her experience being in Gander and like, obviously, you know, the daughter doesn't have an exact memory of it, obviously. I think it was a baby, I want to say, because I want to say there's like she said there's like pictures of her being there.
Maybe
she's pregnant. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But like she even said, you know, like obviously the daughter was 17 when we went at the time, 17 or 18. And she was saying that like she's writing her college essay about like this experience that it shows you like it was such an experience in a moment that like it affected the way that it changed her parents' life, which then in effect changed her life.
I think one of my favorite moments in the show is they asked the writers how they went about writing it or how the writing process was for them. And they talked about how easy it was because they were really just writing about their friends. Like these are people they became friends with. So they were just telling their friends stories. Like the only song in the show that's about one singular person is Me in the Sky, which is Beverly Bass's song. And that happened. They sat down with Beverly for, I think, like 8 hours, they said. And that's everything in that song is from that 8 hour period. And I think that's absolutely beautiful. And obviously, Nick and Diane, a lot of the people that you have reoccurring throughout the show are the friends of Irene and David.
Yeah. Going back to Beverly for a moment, two things. One, I'm ready for a complete Beverly Bass musical. Yes. Just because, I mean, even just in the song, you just hear like so much of her story and you're just like, oh my God, you're amazing. Why is there not just a show about you? I would gladly go watch this. Girl, mm-hmm. Write a memoir. I'm ready to see it.
Yes.
And the other thing too, we'll talk about the book in a moment, but in the book, they actually have a play, but for the Me in the Sky, they have a play by play where it shows like part of Beverly's interview and how they wrote the song. And it really is like, not just obviously the story things they're saying, but even like the way that Beverly said certain things is pretty much just exactly into the song. Like she really just kind of wrote the song on her own.
I love that. I think that's so cool.
And then just another fun thing about Beverly is she's seen the show at this point, like 100-something times at this point. She has gone and like she's gone on some of the tours. She's gone mostly, I think, in New York. She brings other pilots to go see it. And it's just like, again, it's just the legacy of these people and like having this show and having like such a moment. And she's like, she doesn't get sick of it. Like she has like, I think she has like little like Come From Away like items she brings. It's just, it's so, I love it.
I think the beauty of the show is being able to introduce other people to it. I have introduced so many people to it. Every time I've gone, I have taken a new person to go see it, at least one new person. I've gone with a group of like three friends. I've gone twice with just one friend. And then I went with my parents one time. And I think my favorite is after every show, there's always such a distinct reaction from each one of those people. Like the first time I saw it, I mean, my friend and I ran out to the stage door to go meet everybody, and we just looked at each other and screamed for a second. We're annoying. And then the second time I saw it, we had another show to get to, but my friend I was with literally just wrapped his arms around me and was like, thank you so much for taking me to the show.
When I went and took my mom, I was like, I told her so many times, I'm like, be prepared to cry. And my mom's not a crier. Like, my mom is the opposite of me. Like, she rarely cries. I am an emotional wreck that just cries daily. mental health is going great, guys. I was like, be prepared to cry. And be prepared that I'm going to be just bawling the entire time. And, I mean, she did. She cried. It's the only... I think there's only two shows that I've seen her cry at, so...
This obviously was on Broadway, so we also had to talk about the Tonys. It had 7 nominations, but it only won Best Direction.
We're going to have the same feelings on this, and we're probably both going to go off, but let's just say it. So, in case you're wondering what the other shows that was happening during this time, was Dear Evan Hansen. Now, I like Dear Evan Hansen. I think I like it more than you like it. I know you like it, don't you? But like,
I haven't seen it, so I don't necessarily. Oh, really? I haven't seen it.
I thought you had for some reason. Okay, I've seen it. I've seen it a couple times. I like it. It has very good music. Mm-hmm. It has very, very, very good music. I will admit, the songs are great. I mean, that show makes me cry too. You know, and again, I just said mental health. It's a really good mental health show. The story of Dear Evan Hansen is not good, and I don't want to go into Dear Evan Hansen too much. But, like, in comparison to this, it's just not as good. And then, obviously, the big one, it should have won Best Musical. I don't care about the other ones that Dear Evan Hansen won. I am fine with those. I can even forgive Best Book. But I'm like, as you said earlier, this show is so, it's just so unique. Like, the music, the story, the way it's put together, like, every little bit of it works together so well. And, like, we had mentioned this earlier, and I don't know when that mini episode is coming out versus this episode, so I'll just put it in here in case it's after. I've never heard someone say something bad about this show. This is the only show I've never heard a negative critique about, ever. People just don't know it. Like, I don't want to say it's, like, an unknown show, because it is on Broadway, and some people know it. But, like, it's not in that tier, I feel like, with, like, Hamilton, Dear Evan Hansen, Phantom, like those top tier musicals that people know. I just don't feel like it's up there, and that's its problem.
It's not a mega musical, and it shouldn't be a mega musical. It's not that type of show, and the story doesn't lend well to a mega musical, but that doesn't do well for a commercial, which sucks.
It just makes me really question. I know we already did an episode about the Tonys and how they pick, but it just makes me really question that process, because I know we've seen other shows in the past where you're like, wait, really, this beat this show? But I look at it, and again, like I said, Dear Evan Hansen has good music. I'm not gonna fault it on the music, but you look at the overall of the show. That show has faults. I cannot find a single fault in this show.
I would be really interested in hearing from somebody who doesn't like the show, who doesn't like Come From Away.
Like, please tell us, because I legitimately, like, I can't, like, even, like, with Hamilton, I'm like, yeah, there's issues with it. I love it, but there's issues. But with this one, I'm like, what is the issue? I lied. I know the issue. It's not long enough.
True. True.
That
so,
is my issue with it.
Usually with the Drama Desk Awards, you can tell who's going to win the Tonys. Obviously, it's not always true. It's a different judgment pool. Come From Away won the Drama Desk for Outstanding Musical. So I was so stoked. I didn't really know Dear Evan Hansen at the time, and a lot of the issue came because I think a production, like a show, can only be nominated once, like the run of a show, and Dear Evan Hansen was nominated the year before. So they couldn't be nominated in 2017.
For the Drama Desk Awards?
Yeah, for the Drama Desk. Yeah, so the original off-Broadway production was nominated for the Drama Desk in 2016, which means I think they were not allowed to be nominated in 2017. So it was almost like a side swipe that we were not expecting.
But as usual, we see that the Olivier Awards, they know what they're doing.
True.
They were nominated for 8 there and won Best New Musical, Outstanding Achievement, Best Sound Design, Best Theater Choreographer. So
they got it.
We're going to move to England.
True.
We're a pro-England podcast now.
Oh, no.
All about the West End.
Do we have to become Andrew Lloyd Webber stans now?
I was going to say something that, like, just because we talked about Cats last week, this show is similar to Cats as far as there's no real lead person.
Okay, I'll take that.
I know there's other shows, but it just made me laugh because I was like, oh, yeah.
That we will only do ensemble driven shows from now on.
Yeah.
One little fun fact that I love about Come From Away, I freaked out when I saw that this was happening, but last year they did NPR Tiny Desk, which is run through NPR. Basically a band will get together behind somebody's office desk and just perform a set, and Come From Away is one of 3 musicals to do this. I believe it's 3. The other 2 are Band's Visit and Be More Chill.
Okay, Hadestown also did it then.
Oh, did they do it?
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't watch it, but I just remember they did it at some point. I just heard about it.
Huh, I don't remember that. Okay.
I think it was, like, recent.
Oh!
Like, not recent, but, like...
I, like, have a vague memory of it. Okay, so 4. 104. And they perform 38 Hours / Wherever We Are, I Am Here, Me in the Sky, Something's Missing, and the finale. Like, they just went through it. They took you through the whole show.
Something that I thought I put it in here, but I'm not seeing it, so maybe I didn't put it in here, but I just thought it was something that was kind of cool, so I'll just say it now before we talk about some other stuff, is, as we mentioned earlier, it's a sung-through musical, and originally they did have a act break, or an intermission, like, right after Screeched In, but then they ended up taking it out because they realized, you know, the people of Gander didn't get a break, so why would the show get a break?
I love that. I
was just like, and it works really well. Like, some, it definitely takes a certain kind of musical to have a one-act show. And so, and like, it's almost hard to imagine this one even having a break. It's like, no, I want more. Just keep it going.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense because I think something like that really needs to go back to the story. And I think, because it was the producers who thought that too. And I think the producers made a really good call on that one.
And then if you're like, wow, this story sounds really cool, I want to read more about it, I got all the book recs for you right now. So coming at you live. So I'm sure there's a ton of books about Gander, but just some related also to the show. Channel of Peace, which was written by one of the Kevins that's mentioned in the show, the one that has the company, which he actually wrote the book after the show was created, which I think is really cool. I've read it. It's great. It's fun. Recommend. The Day the World Came to Town, 9/11, and in Gander, Newfoundland, by Jim Dufresne. We'll send all this out too. But that's another really good one. It has some of the same stories, but it also gives you some other stories that weren't mentioned in the show. So if you're like, you know, because it's like 6,000 people, like, if this couldn't fit quite everybody's story in. So there's just some really good, like, more background information of some of the people in there. Beverly Bass actually wrote a picture book last year. Yeah, last year. Called Me in the Sky. So if you would like a picture book about Beverly Bass, of course I bought it because I even found a way to, like, use it in my class because I was like, yep. And then if you're like, I can only get one book, in September of last year, much like the Hamilton book, they did make a Come From Away book, which is so good. I read it right before this because I was like, okay, I finally have a reason. Let me read through this, see if there's anything good. And there was so much stuff I wanted to share, but I didn't want to give everything away. because I was like, oh, that's so cool. I kept taking pictures of things. I was like, I'm gonna add this and add this. And then I was like, no, I want you guys to be able to read it. Like, it's more fun for you to read it than having to hear me talk about it. But one of the things that I really, really liked that was written in it is they said, each actor plays at least a Come From Away and a local character. Not only is this theatrically fun, but it also reminds the audience that we can be in each other's shoes at any moment. You could be helping or need to be helped. I just thought that was... like a really good quote about just the show, and like we said, with everything going on, that's just a good moment to remind you, like, you know, you never know what's gonna happen. And not to be like cheesy, but
I like that a lot. I think that's really sweet. So it has come time for our ratings. Do you want to go first or should I go first?
I'm going to give it a 1. I hate this show.
This show is fucking the worst.
Sucks.
Ugh.
I am going, well, obviously 10 out of 10. I mean, Casey, you can't tell. I love it. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's a phenomenal show. It is, and Hamilton's my recommendation for people that are like, I don't like musical theater at all. But like anyone that'll listen to me talk about theater for longer than like 10 seconds, I'm like, no, have you heard about this show?
Mm-hmm.
And then go into my rant. And so please let me talk to you about it if you'd like to hear more. Okay. I'm going to do 10 out of 10 bottles of Grey Goose.
Oh, that's a good one. See, I feel like I have to bring it.
I wanted to do something that was in the song, but not, like, necessarily an offset of the show. So that was like, okay, at least if listen to the musical, you can get it.
Yes. No, that's a good idea. I feel like it's a cop-out to say, like, 10 out of 10 come from a ways.
I was going to do 10 out of 10 Codfish.
Yeah, I feel like that's another cop-out. So I'm going to say 10 out of 10 Shots of Screech. I love the show. Like I said, it's my favorite show. I know I said it in the Hamilton episode. I have a hard time giving shows 10 out of 10s because I think there are things to be worked on in shows. But I think in the case of Come From Away, just all the good and the story really outweighs any bad in it. And by bad, I mean like theatrical issues, I guess we'll call it. I really do like this show. It's not a show if you're looking for your fun, like, show-stopping, big, like, Wicked musical. It's not that. It's much more laid back. It's a true story, which I absolutely love. And the music is good, and it just is fast-paced. There's never a moment where you're like, okay, can we keep going? Can we move on? Next, thank you. And you just get so attached to these people and this experience that they went through. It's a story that I will gladly watch over and over and over, and I cannot wait to do it someday.
Yeah, like I said earlier, you know, like, well, not I said, but they have said, like, it's not a show about 9/11. It's a show about 9/12. It's definitely as simplistic in that, and like the staging and the form. And even though there is sad parts and there is lulls, it ends on such a happy high note. Mm-hmm. Like that last song, like, I feel like I still cry. I cry at the, like, you know, the sad part. And then I still just cry at the last song just because it's so uplifting that it's just, yes, like a shift that you're just like, oh, I love everything and things can be great again and we can find happiness. That is just, please listen to it if you have like, it's
for me. For me, in the opening and the end song, it's the, you are here at the start of a moment that I bawl anytime we hit that, or the first time you hear the drum when the show starts, I just bawl. But going off what you were saying, it is really a 9/12 musical. And I've heard a couple times that people are like, why would you write a musical about 9/11? It's not about 9/11. And if that's what's stopping you from seeing the show, you're wrong. Your opinion is invalid. You don't know what you're talking about because that is not what it's about. It's about the aftermath. It's about what these people did to come together to help people. And I swear, if we don't need more of that right now, like, if you don't think that, you're wrong. You are also wrong. Just please listen to the show because it's what the world needs right now. Like, the world needs more Newfoundlanders. Period. End of story. Listen to it. Let us know what you think.
And if you know anyone that lives there and is willing to house us when we come on our vacation, please let us know.
Please, Airbnb. So, listen to it. Where can they tell us their thoughts and their opinions?
So, you can email us at mtbcpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at MTBC Podcasts, or you can find us on TikTok or Instagram. We post a lot of fun theater stuff, MTBC Podcast all around.
Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends, your family, your enemies, any Newfoundlanders you may know. Give them my contact info. I want to hit them up. And this week, go out and do something nice for somebody.